The page is on page 856. Page 856. Vayakol anoisim mikol hagoyim haboim al yishmaim. It will be all those who are noisim who remain. Mikol hagoyim haboim lishkam al yishmaim. Ba'olu midei shana lishana lishkachavoyis l'melech Hashem tzivakoyis v'lachoy gizchag hasukas. So here we are describing after HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings this magefa, and now we are going into the next stage of Yivayis HaMashiach. All the survivors, Rahoya, it will be Kol HaNoisar Mikol HaGoyim. Noisar, the leftovers. We would translate it in this context the word Noisar as survivors. Okay, is that in the English language is the word survivor? Do we look at it like a leftover? See, it's interesting. She'eris is not the word, right? Very good. So even in Hebrew, when you talk about a survivor, the word is she'eris. She'eris means a remnant, which is survivor. In English, it's a more accurate word, a survivor. Noisar does not mean survivor. Noisar, it's very hard to translate. I mean, so that's she'eris. In English, you don't say... What? Anisha, right, Nisha. Nisha and the word Noisar are not the same. The word Nishar, She'eris HaPleita, is not the same concept as Noisar. She'eris HaPleita has a connotation that there was an attempt to commit genocide, to completely wipe out everyone. Oh, and there were people that escaped. What is Noisar in Halacha? You bring a carbon, and you have a day to eat it. You have 2 days, the 2 days, the night in between. And that's when you are supposed to do what you're supposed to do, to consume it. And if you fail in doing what you're supposed to do, then it's called noise. It's called noise. Noise is not... when you talk about a survivor, the connotation is nothing went wrong. You know, you should not use a coffin until you're done to fill up the urn. It's not the right thing to use. I don't think you should use that. I don't know. Okay, all right. I just
wear. I
mean, tilas adam is takeaway tumah. It's a different type of Well, I'm just saying that in the future. I'm not. You have to look into it. Okay,
I don't know. I think you're being a bit too technical.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Comes from Yoser. Something that's extra. It
should say here in the passage, Vahaya Kol HaNishar. Vahaya Kol HaNishar Mikol HaGoyim HaBom Al Yerushalayim. That would be a very reasonable and expected word to describe the survivors of the Umay Sa'ilam after Muhammad Sfagamabak. Just like we use that term in reference to us, the Sheris HaPlait. The word Noisar has a connotation that you did something wrong, and you're not supposed to be here. When it comes to a carbon that is eaten by the Kohanim or by the owner of the animal, Noisar means you blew it. You're not supposed to be here. All of the meat was supposed to be eaten within the time limit. And now the fact that we have meat that's being eaten at this moment in time, it's wrong. We have meat that's left over, there is something fundamentally wrong. This is not the way it is supposed to be. When you say the word she'eris, it means not only is your existence legitimate, it's a chaval that no one else is here. Everyone should have been here. The only one that is here are the leftovers, are these few people. But there really should have been more. It's an entirely different expression. And Noisar has this connotation that you do not have a right to exist. You're a leftover. You really should have been eliminated. You really should have been somewhere else. You're a leftover. Okay, Nishar has a connotation. You're not illegitimate. you are where you are supposed to be, but it's tragic that you're the only one that is where they're supposed to be. All the other people are not where they are supposed to be. And Michal, you want to hear the difference?
I do. Yeah. I think it's right. Well, let's see what the proportions say, and then we can circle back.
Okay.
Wait and see attitude.
Okay, so the Hoya call Adoy, so we call Agoy my boy. What? Right. So, in this. The Ishtar. So he actually translates the word Noisa to mean the Ishtar. Exactly. He's actually translating that. So why then did he not say the word Hakolan Yishar? So the question here is, when it comes to the Goyim, the Umasalim, are they, the Nafkamin is according to what we're trying to say is, what was Hashem's original plan for the Umay Soilam? Was the original plan that they should all be present at the time of Mashiach in order to participate? To participate, where did you get that from, Mayor?
It's an interesting thought.
You're a very creative, Mayor.
There isn't much to work with in there.
Yeah.
In other words, over there, what does it mean by Yaakov when he was
Hanishar? So it means there's a gzeir, and the gzeir is there should be no one left, and look, we survived. So when it comes, look at the purpose of creation. Hashem created the world. That Adam, mankind, is created with Tzelem Elokim. Man is created in the image of Hashem. And now we're describing the period of Yemos HaMashiach. What was the original plan? Was the original plan that at this point in time, the entire world, all of humanity, with no exception, should be present to witness Hashem's revelation? And unfortunately, the vast majority of mankind failed, and they're not worthy to be present. The only one that's truly worthy are the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael. And from the Umay Soilam, there are a few people that are around. But those few people that will be present when Hashem will reveal himself were people that were meant to be.
Right.
Because this was the original, Hashem created Adam. Adam includes mankind. Everyone is B'Tselem Elokim. Everyone is entitled to be present at the time when Hashem reveals himself. No, it's a chaval, the vast majority of the world, they did not merit.
That's how the Chumash looks at the word Nosar in terms of a karma. Nosar means...
That would be Nishar. That would be...
It just happened to be, you know, but you ate something and this was just left over.
It's not meant to be. The word Nosar has a kind of anomaly. So if it's the way
say, my grandfather's shul, where he davened in the 20s and 30s and 40s, was... The Sheiris Yisrael. Right. Of course, they said Sheiris Yisrael, but it was set itself up to be a very holy congregation where you had to meet certain standards before you could become a member. If you weren't super, you know, frum, you couldn't be a member, and they checked you out. And they used to go from house to house. You want to be a member? To make sure that, you know, there was a night table between the beds and the tablecloths. There was a table. Like I said, all these things, they were very, very insular about that. You couldn't daven without a beard.
Really?
Just said that only the Jewish people deserve to be there.
So that for sure. The Klal Yisrael for sure is meant. The question is, what about the Umay Soilam?
No, I'm asking you, with regard to the Bnei Israel, the Jewish people, are we talking only about the entire Eden or every Jew from left to right?
Well, in this pasuk, we're not even discussing the Jews. In this pasuk, we are discussing the non-Jews. Among the Jews, everyone, Kol Yisrael Yeish Lam Chelek La'ilam Haba. Every Jew is meant, there's no question. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, everyone is meant to be Nenef in the Ziv HaShchina. Kol Yisrael Yeish Lam Chelek La'ilam Haba. There's no question. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, everyone is meant to have a Chelek. Over here, this pasuk is addressing specifically the Goyim. We are now focusing on the Goyim. So let's review.
It's an interesting thing that all the major religions have an apocalyptic story.
Yes.
At the end of which only the minority, the true believers, survive.
Okay.
You know? So, I'm just saying, it seems like it's practically universal.
What's universal? That there's going to be someone at the very end. there's going to be someone at the very end. Okay, so the point I want to make is that let's go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis. By Ma'aseh Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose that ultimately it should come to this point in time when we're describing the pasuk where there's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation. What was Hashem's original intent? I don't know. Let's just present a dilemma. Was it Hashem's original intent that at the end of days there's going to be no one left except for Klal Yisrael?
No.
It was never meant to be. It was never meant to be for humanity to survive to the very, very end. It was, yeah. The whole world was
it's
only.
The
well, there was a Madrash that supported this. B'shvil Yisrael Shemikur Reishis. So everyone else was just here for support as a support system.
Yeah.
All the Goyim were here, so it was never, according to this limitation, it was never ever meant that the Goyim should be present at the end of days in times of Israel. When Hashem created man, Adam.
A sufficient number.
Because I was in this dilemma. What was Hashem's original intent? It was his intent that it's going to be Klal Yisrael.
Yes.
They're going to for sure be present. And that's what it says in the Medrash, B'shvil Yisrael, Shenikru Reishis, Nivru Ho'ilam. What about the rest of mankind, trillions of people? What about them? Oh, they're just here for support. But when the day of reckoning comes, they're not going to be around. They were never meant to be present. They were never meant to be present. Thus, if that's the approach you want to learn, if that's what you want to say, they were never meant to be present, and now someone is present, then you're right. Then the word noisar fits. Because noisar has a connotation of something that was not meant to be. Karbonos. It's not meant to be that there should be noisar. Noisar is navera. You're not allowed to leave the meat over to the next day. If you have something that's left over, it's not supposed to be. That's not the way it was meant to be. It's in the ideal, perfect world, everything should be used up in the right time. Something went wrong, so it's called noiser. So if you're going to say that when Hashem made the world, it was only meant for the Klal Yisrael should be present, and Thomas the Most of Mashiach, and the rest of the world should just disappear, be obliterated, and the reason why they existed is only in order to nurture and develop Klal Yisrael, then indeed, if we do find when the world is over, and we do find Goyim sticking around, and there are Goyim running around in the streets, those Goyim are called noisar. It was not meant to be for you. Somehow, we don't know why your leftovers, you made it to the moment of revelation. But if you learn that when Hashem created man, or the Marisha, mankind, it was meant to be l'chatchila, the whole world, every single human being that is created in the image of Hashem, is meant to be present at the time of Yimos HaMashiach. So where is everyone? How come we just went through this entire parak where all these nations just disappeared, they just withered away, disappeared, they were obliterated? They blew it! They blew it! They sinned! And therefore Hashem had to eliminate them. And whoever is left are called the She'eris. The She'eris HaPleita from the Umay Soilam. So there are two words. There's the word She'eris and the word Noisar. She'eris has a connotation, this was meant to be for you. It's a chaval that your chaverim did not join you. The word Noisar has a connotation, it was not meant to be for you. And you somehow, you snuck in. You somehow lingered over. So how do we look at Goyim being present during the time of Yemos HaMashiach? Is this what Hashem really meant for you? Or no? Just somehow, for whatever the reasons are, which we don't know, Hashem allowed you to remain and witness the revelation. The word here, V'hoya kol ha-noisar, mikol ha-goyim, certainly gives you a sense that they were not supposed to be here to begin with. And the reason why they're present when Hashem is now revealing himself is something, a gift, a special gift that Hashem has given to them.
How did they go in here, Palestine, with no Goyim?
We don't know. I don't know. You're asking a very good question. I don't know. If you would say to the...
Loud.
It has to be there was something that we do not know. Just like if you would tell Goyim, if you would say to Goyim back then, that in the year Tavshin Pei Aleph, when one person speaks, the whole world hears every word he says clearly, and they can see every speck of dust on his face, and they can see his tie. They'll say, "You're crazy! How could it possibly be that 7-8 billion people can listen?" Look who's here. Look who has come into the Beis Medrash.
Wow.
Mark Platnick has arrived.
Yes,
Baruch Abba.
Go sit on the
Baruch Abba. Welcome. Wow, what a treat.
He took a shave.
What a treat. There's actually life outside, outside in the streets. Okay, so if you would ask them back in ancient times, they would tell you crazy. It's impossible. How can one person get up in front of an audience, get up and speak, and the whole world listens? Possible, right? Well, we know it's not impossible. It happens every single day. Okay, it happens every single day. It doesn't happen as you know. It used to be even better. I always say I once read. I don't know if we, I read. I probably told this. Is that years ago? I don't know this before my time. I remember the reruns. I'm sure you all know. There was a show called I Love Lucy. Everyone here remembers that? Okay. Okay, it was before my time. And so I once read not that long ago that when that wasn't they didn't have everything recorded on YouTube and all these online streaming services and that you can watch on demand in those days if you don't watch it at 7:30, that's it. There were no VCRs. There was no technology. It was television. It was played at 7:30, and if you miss it, you miss it. There's nothing no one can do for you. There's no VCR. You're gonna have to wait 10 years to see the rerun. Okay, they have it. So the whole world, the whole United States, was so fascinated and so enamored by this television show that at 7:30, no one flush the toilet in the country.
Monday 9 o'clock.
What was Monday 9 o'clock? What time was it? Monday 9 o'clock. No one flushed it. They said it was a sakana. The water pressure in the city was so, because normally every second someone's taking a shower, someone's flushing the toilet. They set the water pressure based upon the reality that there are 8 million people living in the city, and every single second someone's going to the bathroom, someone's turning on the shower, someone is in the kitchen making dinner, and the water is flowing. If every single person just in New York City alone would decide to turn off the faucet and no one would go to the bathroom for half an hour, you realize the pressure in the pipes?
The problem wasn't the lack of pressure. The pressure was that when the commercial came on,
That's what happened. Could you imagine the whole country was sitting in front of the tube watching the episode? People arranged their whole schedule. I think I read it. Stores, they closed down. It's unbelievable. Why?
There were other examples
of that. So that today you don't even have that because today everything is on demand and everything is recorded. Okay. But you appreciate that if you tell this to a person, that one person can speak and then it can happen and the entire world can be listening. The birds are not chirping. Nothing. The dogs are not barking. Everyone is listening. They will tell you out of your mind. You totally meshuggah. Thank you very, very much. Very kind of you.
You have at the beginning of Vayigash, and it says, Me'im Ponai v'Koro Wasson, was an act by Yvaser Hula Bado. In other words, it was an accident that he got killed. Yosef, that's what Yaakov is talking. Yehuda is talking about the Yosef. But when it says, after Vayisvada Yosef Elachav, it says, Look, Vayishlochemi Elochim Lifnechem Losu Lochem She'eris Ba'aretz. In other words, it was all in the plan. You are supposed to be, as opposed to Nosar, Binyamin is alive because he was left. Yosef was an accident, but this was a plan. So Sheiris uses as a plan.
So you think you're supporting this idea?
Yeah, I'm supporting
this idea. Okay. All right, whatever, let's go further. What are they going to do? These people, the alu midei shana v'shana, these individuals will ascend midei shana v'shana once a year lehishtachavayis to be'al melech Hashem to the king of Hashem tzavokas v'lochukit to celebrate es chag ha'tzukais. So notice the difference between them and us. We have a mitzvah aliyah l'regel 3 times a year. The goyim have a mitzvah aliyah l'regel once a year. Which festival? Sukkos. Why Sukkos? Okay, that will come too soon. That's. Well, of course, you accept kibbutz. You do accept kibbutz. Ki beisi beis tefillah. Ki beisi beis tefillah l'chol ho'anim. It's a base for the entire world. The base Hamikdash is a makom for the entire world. Pasuk Yedayin. V'hoya asher lo ya'aleh miyeis mishpachos ha'aretz. Anyone who does not ascend from the families of the earth, El Yerushalayim, l'hishdach avos, l'melech Hashem tzevokos, v'loy aleihem yihyeh ha'goshem. They will be punished. They will be punished, and Hashem will not bestow upon them rain. There will be drought in their land. Pasuk Yedches, v'im mishpachas Mitzrayim, now we are coming to single out the family of Egypt. If he will not ascend, and he will not come. So it says, not upon them that you would expect it should come upon them. If they are not going to ascend, you would assume that they should be punished. But here it says it's the opposite. Asher lo ya'alu, because they did not ascend, lochoig eschag ha'asukos. Now, what does this mean? Obviously, this is all very mysterious. Let's see the Mitzvah one thing at a time. Starting with Pasuk Tes Zayin. Tes Zayin in the Mitzvah David is on page 857. Anyone who does not have Mitzvah David here, you should come to the shul. We have a lot of copies of the art school edition. You come to the back room. In the back room on the left wall, there is a whole wall, a whole shelf. You can come, take it home.
You can get coffee and cereal and cake.
If you want to come to the shul, we have over here food. We have even here coffee. We have hot coffee. It's, you can make it on this. Netilas yodayim. Hamevin yodayim. I'm just trying to understand that. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvarai. Ah, I feel cleansed now. Let's go. Pasuk further in the Mitzudos 857. Tez Zayin, Haboim, Li Lachem Olecha, those who were sent to fight. The Olu, El Yerushalayim. Okay, so it says, the Pasuk Tez Zayin, Bagim Haboim Olecha, Kol Anoisa, what am I saying over here? Haboim, one more time, the word, Mikol HaGoyim Haboim, Al Yerushalayim. So he learns here, Li Lachem Olecha, all of the Noisa, Mikol HaGoyim, those that, in this kind, it makes sense what we said. The word noiser here would then mean that those that really should not have existed, they should have been obliterated. The fact that they're still fighting, they're still challenging the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, they really should have been eliminated. But for some reason, they stuck, they made it, they survived. They're come the olu, they will ascend El Yerushalayim, v'lochoik, l'chavi korbonois b'chag hasukois. Okay, here he's introducing to us the principle of Yizkor, that there was a terrible Magefa, and the Magefa took place. He's telling us the Mitzudas that the Magefa is taking place during the time of Sukkos, and the survivors are going to commemorate, I guess, their relatives or the losses, and actually maybe celebrate their survival on the anniversary, on the date of when this event occurred, which will be on Chag HaSukkos.
What is it? Is it a celebration or is it a yahrzeit?
It's not clear. The Mitzvah David first says, why not? The goyim don't have yahrzeit. They don't commemorate.
Let's see
some of the more fashion. You're right, I don't know. It's all very, as we said, the Zechariah is extremely mysterious.
Is Yisker a sad occurrence, or is it happy?
It's sad for us, it's happy for them. We once had a conversation that how could it be that we have Yisker on the Moadim? The Moadim is a Zman of Simcha. We don't make an av harachamim on Chodesh Nisan. We don't commemorate the dead. We don't mix sadness with days of joy. Why do we have the service of Yizkor on the Moadim, which is a zman of Simcha? V'samachta b'chagecha v'hoyisa ach sameach shmini atzeres ach some only Simcha. And what do? Yizkor. My high, right? I see some people crying during Yizkor. There are some people that cry. It's not, how could, and some say you're not allowed to cry, you should be careful not to cry because you're not allowed to cry on Yom Kippur, but there are people that cannot hold themselves back. Why do we have a sad ceremony of Yizkor on the Mo'adim? So we once said a whole shiur on this, and the basic gist is, there is no greater simcha for a person when someone remembers them. It is in fact the highest, in other words, when it comes Yom Tif, there's the mitzvah of simcha. The truth is, there is no mitzvah of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha on the Mo'adim is to give simcha to someone else. V'somachta b'chagecha atol, well it says you, uvincha v'itecha atcha v'amosav hentecha v'gercha she b'sherecha. The primary simcha, mitzvah of simcha on the Mo'adim is to make sure other people have simcha.
What does gercha mean?
Gercha means a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is vulnerable. He has no relatives. He has no support system. And he's a very vulnerable person, a ger tzedek. And he needs encouragement. The ikar simcha is to give joy to other people. And anyone who does this will tell you that gives them the greatest form of simcha. Like a zehu mechubad hamechabed. Who is the real honored person? The one that gives honor to someone else.
It's a beautiful pshat, but the word says v'somachta.
So how do you have simcha? You shall have simcha who ato you, how? Ubincha, uvitecha, avdecha, v'amoscha, v'hemtecha, v'gercha, shebesherecha. By you giving simcha to your children, to your wife, to your family, to all of these unfortunate, these other people, that's how you will have simcha. A mature person understands that his greatest satisfaction in life is giving pleasure to somebody else. Now, does it only apply to the living? What about the dead? Do they enjoy simcha? We have emunah, that the neshama, the soul who leaves this world, it's just like he went next door. He didn't go anywhere. He's just, his neshama is in a different place. Doesn't that neshama also deserve a little simcha? Doesn't
look
a relative?
Look at the translation of the words, what's in Yiska. Look at the translation of the words, as the origin of where Yiska came from. Latova, in other words, remember them for the good. Everybody has done good and bad. And unfortunately, the reason for it was from Hanukkah, and I spoke about it, and the point is, but remember them for the good. And so that's what you're doing. Nishmasav v'mi'imi l'tova. Remember them for all the good that they did in the world.
But besides that, when you get a letter, when someone sends you a letter, calls you up, Erev Rosh Hashanah, doesn't that make you feel good that someone is thinking about you? When someone thinks about you, that's joy. The service of Yizkor is a service to give simcha to the neshamos in the other world. The neshamos in the other world have tremendous joy when someone on this world thinks about them. They're in the other world, they're very bored. I don't know what they do there. No one came back to tell us what they do there, but they're doing something over there. But they're lonely. And when someone in this world thinks about them, gives tzedakah in their memory, learns a mishnah in their memory, remembers them, that gives them incredible joy that we cannot even begin to be masik. Someone goes to visit their kever, come to visit them, spend some time there, and davens, it gives that neshama immense joy. The Mo'adim are days of joy. Everyone deserves joy, the living and the dead. And the way you give the dead joy is by remembering them. It's not a selfish service, Yizkor. You know, I'm going to remember my family, Zuchusim, it's all about me, and I'm going to cry and my loss. No, the purpose of Yizkor is to give joy to the neshamas in the other world by letting them know that we didn't forget about you. And that gives them pleasure.
Today we named the baby and family
Dovid. After
Reb Dovid.
Dovid Feinstein. Mazel Tov. See, that certainly gives someone tremendous joy. Okay? Tremendous joy that someone went so far to name. That is what Yizkor is all about.
That's why Rabbi Alpert, in his on Korach, what does it say? Be Sheol. What is it? Sheol. He said it's a place that's literally, he doesn't use the English word, of course, but the phantom zone. In the dead, there's a relationship between the living and the dead. But the Sheol, there is no relationship. The idea was to cut Korach off, to cut them off from either way, so you should have no relationship, no yiska for Korach.
No yiska for Korach.
No yiska for Korach.
Right. No one calls the kid.
Because that's it. Wipe them out.
Okay.
So that's where Sheol is. It's the phantom zone.
Chagas Sukkos. There are three moadim. There is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Pesach, it does not say the word Simcha. Shavuos, it says the word Simcha once. Sukkos, it says the word Simcha twice. Okay, from all the festivals in the Torah, Sukkos is the Yom Tov of the greatest Simcha. Over here, the Mitzvah Stavit just dropped the bomb, and he said that it's a Yizkor service. And when are they coming to do the Yizkor service? By Klal Yisrael, we have three moadim. Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos. By the Goyim, they only have one Yom Tov, Sukkos. Lost the love, they only have one Yom Tov. Aliyah L'Regel is only once a year, Sukkos. Which Sukkos? That's the day, that's the ultimate Simcha, where it says the word V'samachta twice. There's more Simcha on Sukkos than there is on Pesach and Shavuos. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They're doing Yizkor. They're remembering what happened. Now, what does it mean? What exactly are they remembering? So Yizkor, are they remembering their families, their people who died in this Magefa? They were obliterated for their sins. Is that what they're doing?
No,
or are they
harvest.
What?
It's not because they brought in
it's Christ. Everything together. Well, no, but he's saying there's a Yizkor service. I mean the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah here is giving us a whole new dimension. Look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Kazayin.
No, but for the Goyim.
Oh, so for the Goyim, yes,
exactly.
It's an
armor. That's why the twice also by Judah.
Right, but over here, the Mitzvah is focusing on a different crowd. He's saying Haboyim Lilochim Olecho. We all first he talks about the people who came to fight. He's describing the people who had seemingly at one point in time were evil people. At one point in time, they were on the wrong team. The Alu, they're going to ascend El Yushlam, the Velochai, the Lohavi Karbonis, the Hagasukas, the Zelifi, the Hagasukas, the Hamagaf Azos, the anniversary. Lohain, therefore, Yavo Bobo Hoshon, the Hiyois, the Zikaroin. The Mitsuda Stav is saying a shocking idea. Is the Goyim going to come every Sukkos primarily as is a memorial? For what? What it doesn't
mean?
So it doesn't say that. Maybe you can read into this whatever you want. Maybe they're coming to their loss, or maybe they're coming as a reminder to themselves of what happened, not to do it again. A person always needs a reminder of his evil deeds in order not to repeat. He has to not to repeat, not to, to fall back in his old ways. These people, according to the midst of the stuff, these were our enemies. They came to wage war against us. Hashem had rachem upon them. Hashem did not kill them like everyone else. So every year, once a year, they come to remember what happened, that there was a war, and most of the world was destroyed, and they survived, even though they were on the wrong team, they were on the wrong side, and they're coming for a zikaron. Does that zikaron also serve as a reminder, as a memorial for the rest of the world? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. It's not telling us. Does the rest of the world deserve a memorial service? Do the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, do they deserve a memorial service? I don't think so. Not me. Okay? We certainly don't think so. We certainly don't think so. Yudzayin, Mishpachos Aretz, Korach U'ma HaVashem Mishpacha, V'chein HaMishpacha Asher Halesim Eretz Mishram. This is an important point. This is an idea which we just touched upon, and that is over here, when most of the Mashiach, the nations are ordinarily called an Am. A nation, an Am. In the times of Mashiach, they're not called any longer an Am. There's no such thing as the United Nations. It's going to be called the United Families. They're going to rename the United Nations to the United Families. They're called Mishpachos. Because a Mishpacha just connotes a group of people who are related and have a common interest, but they don't have any unique anything unique. A nation was a nation. They have a constitution, an ideology. They have language.
Culture.
What do they say? Language. You said very good. What do you say? Culture? Language?
That's Michael Savage.
What do you say?
Language, culture, borders.
Language, culture, borders. That's a nation. Three terms. Fantastic.
Borders.
This is true today. L'Osa Lavo is a game changer. L'Osa Lavo, the world is going to be shattered. When Hashem reveals himself, when there is a revelation of Emes, the world will be shaken up. And culture, even language. It says the sofa achas. It says lo'asalavai. The world will speak one common language. That there's a pasuk somewhere that says that. A sofa. Like originally the time before Migdal Bavel, it says that everyone spoke sofa achas, one common language. If we're going to go back to one common language, that means, as Rabbi Chol just said, what makes a nation unique? Language. If everyone speaks the same language, that takes away the uniqueness of a nation. Borders. I mean. So how does all that work? Lost love of territory. And what about culture? When you recognize the MS of Torah, you know, Hollywood's going to have to change their whole model. You know, business model. Instead of every film you have to check off three things in every film. Avoid the Zara, Gilei Arayos, Shlich HaSlamim. If you're missing one of those three, forget it. You're not going to get funding. No one will invest. You know, to make a movie, you have to have investors. Every movie, they have to get millions of dollars of investment money, seed money, in order to make so you show the screenplay to your investors. If it doesn't have Avoid the Zara, Gilei Arayos, Shlich HaSlamim, forget it. No one will give you a penny. But Lost Lovoi, Adarabba, if you show me Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shlich HaSlamim in the screenplay, I'm not giving you one penny. It's a whole different world. That changed the culture. What really controls the world today? Hollywood. It's a fact. Hollywood, what comes out of Hollywood is what sets the tone for the entire world. Or at least it has been. Maybe now it's changing a little bit.
It's
changing a little bit now.
It's decline now.
Right now it's changing a bit.
It's
a little
so
different now.
It degraded itself to the point where...
Right. But it used to be for decades.
That's right.
For decades, like I wrote, decades, is that the films
the
shows that were produced in Hollywood, even someone in Koilel Chazonish sitting on a hill in Bnei Brak learning Yom V'Laila is affected by what comes out of Hollywood. It trickles down to him because he also has to go to the store and go home and walk in the street. And the values and that was presented in Hollywood, it trickles to the end of the earth, and you cannot avoid it. That's a fact. That is a fact. Entertainment.
Look at how we view the story of the Exodus, right?
That's right.
And we, not you, Rabbi Levine, but the rest of us, we view it through the lens of the Ten Commandments.
The meal.
Okay, let's go further. So back to the Mitzudos. So this is a very important point that it's not going to be called the United Nations. It will be, who knows if it will even exist. All the corruption, the lies, and the nasty people who walked in that building. It'll be called...
As soon as we exit them from the United States, it's the end.
If there will be a collaboration, of the world, it's going to be called the United Families. Not the United Nations. It's fair shapasak. Okay, the Mishbuchai Svarits. The Loy Alehem. And now it says over here, the Loy Alehem, the Loy Alehem, Oz Loya Alehem Hagoshem. Legadel to Wasam, Zehu, Al Shabachaka Sukas, Nigzor, Gishme Shona. The Al, Shaloy Bohu Bo. If they refuse to come to Eretz to make Aliyah, if they refuse to come to pay homage to Hashem on Sukkos, then they will be punished. Hashem will not bestow upon them blessing. Pasuk Yudches, Lo Sale V'lo Yivona. What does this mean? Who kefel inyan b'miloy shoynos. The Lo Alehem is part of what it means. What he says, and we'll go back and explain. Lo Alehem. It's in Lomar. Sheloy Alehem. Yoyreid Hageshem Kol Hashanim. It does not rain upon them. Why? Ki Hanilus Mashke Sidoy Sehem Tiye Onsham Hamageifa. He learns that Egypt, that was the problem in Egypt from day one. Egypt did not need Hashem because the Nile. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Klal Yisrael? You're leaving Egypt, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. There's a fundamental difference between Egypt and Eretz Yisrael. In Egypt, the sustenance is derived from the Nile. And the Nile is almost guaranteed every single year to flood and to irrigate the fields. So you have everything. You don't need Hashem. If you don't need Hashem, you forget about Hashem, and you enter into a different frame of mind, where you rebel against Hashem and you live a very an ugly, mundane life. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no irrigation. The Nile doesn't exist. It's a land of mountains. The only way you will survive is if it rains. If it rains, then the earth will produce produce, you'll have bread, you'll have water. If it doesn't rain, you're dead. Well, how does it rain? There's no switch, it's no guarantee. Geshem needs tefillah. And therefore, you're always subject to Hashem's goodwill. And that's a tremendous benefit in order to force you to every day daven to Hashem three times a day. It's like the man. Just like 40 years in the desert, every single day the man descended. Hashem did not just give him a package. Here's a package, and the package will be good for 6 months. And then we'll renegotiate after 6 months for another package. So 6 months, you do whatever you want. You're free. No, every single Vayanucha says the pasuk, Vayanucha, Vayar Ivecha. Hashem tortured you. Hashem tortured you, and he starved you. By giving you the man. What does it mean Hashem tortured you? Every single day, you had to be worthy of receiving the man, otherwise you didn't get. Every day, Hashem was a custom deliver. If you were a tzaddik, the man arrived at your front door. If you were not such a tzaddik, you had to go walk out into the street to pick up your package. If you're not so good, you'll go
determined on a daily basis?
Daily basis. You had to go to the post office to get your money. And if you really were bad, you had to go to Lakewood to get it. Like a 3-hour trip. Why are these guys going every night to Lakewood to weddings? They're going to pick up the money. The weddings are just an excuse. Why doesn't the money come right to your front door? People were humiliated. They were humiliated. Here you have a person who makes believe he's a big tzaddik. He has a big beard and a big hat and a big black jacket. And he proves he sits in the Mizrach Vant. And, you know, he holds himself to be the God of Hadar. And he wakes up in the morning and guess what? There's no food by the front door. Where is his package? He has to go on a hike to get his package. While the guy next door, who sits in the back of the shul, quiet, humble guy, he gets the money at his front door. Who's the tzaddik? Who's the person that has issues in his life? The person has to go travel a far distance. That's humiliating. That's called Vayyanecha. Hashem afflicted you. He tortured you. He tortured you by denying you to see the man with your front door. So here it says, in Egypt there was no rain. So in Egypt there was no rain. So what are you gonna so the Egyptians will say to Hashem, oh, you're gonna punish us? We're not going to come to celebrate and bring korbanos and sukkos. You're going to punish us by not giving us rain? Ha ha, we don't need your rain, Hashem. We're self-sufficient. We have the Nile. We have artificial water. We don't need your rain, Hashem. So Hashem says, okay, maybe you don't need my rain, but instead I'll punish you with a magefa. Hashem will always get the person. The person once said to the Chofetz Chaim, he said to the Chofetz Chaim that, I am diversified. I have diversified my portfolio to such a degree. He was a very wealthy person. He said to the Chofetz Chaim, it's basically impossible for me to be poor. For me to become poor, the world will have to suffer a total collapse of every, not just in one country. In order for me to become poor, the world economy will have to collapse. And it's very unlikely the world economy will, maybe one country, Venezuela, will collapse. Maybe will collapse. In this country, some third world country will collapse. But for the whole world economy to collapse, that's not going to happen. And I am diversified throughout the entire world. It cannot be that I'm going to come to a situation of poverty. So how do I, he said to the Chofetz Chaim, so how do I feel like a regular person who, a regular person is worried every day, what am I going to eat, how am I going to pay the rent, how am I going to survive? This is not a joke. People, anyone who's been in that situation knows it's very stressful. It really consumes you. To worry, you know, I have bills to pay, I'm not bringing in enough money. it's a terrible, terrible strain on the person. So how do I, and that strain, even though it's a curse, or it's a horror, it forces a person, not everyone, to acknowledge that there's a God, there's a creation, you need help, and you have to pray for survival. But a person that doesn't have these daigus, they don't come to that. They don't have that struggle. So the Chofetz Chaim says, it may be true that Hashem cannot take the money away from you. That may be true. Hashem can't take away your money. But Hashem can take you away from the money. From the money. Hashem can't take the money from you. But Hashem can take you away from the money. And what does that mean? It means either you can die, or it means you won't be able to enjoy one penny. Person doesn't, is not in good health. He's not in good health. So what's all the money worth? A person has another tzara. Another tzara, Rahman Mitzlan. It consumes him. He's busy the whole day dealing with other tzaras. So what's all the money worth? So just because you think in this prat, in life, everything is good, and the average person doesn't have what the problems that the average person have, you don't have. Don't worry, Hashem has other ways, other methods to make sure that you acknowledge who's the boss. Then it may be true Hashem cannot take the money away from you, but Hashem can take you away from the money. It's a very profound statement. And here, that's exactly what it says in Pasuk Yichas, according to the Mitzvah Stavit. We read the Pasuk inside. The Mishpachas Mitzrayim, Egypt, they read what we just said above. It says that Hashem is threatening the leftover nations of the world. If you do not pay homage to Hashem by coming to Yerushalayim, they bring korbanos on Sukkot and acknowledge who the boss is, so Hashem says, so I'll punish you. You won't have what to eat. You won't have parnasa. There'll be no geshem. Egypt says, ha ha ha, you can't threaten us with that because we don't need geshem. In Egypt, anyway, it never ever rains. In Egypt, we have the Nile. We have artificial water. We don't need you, Hashem. So Hashem says, excuse me, the mishpachas mitzrayim loy sale v'loyvo. And the way the Mitzvah Stav explains the next words, V'loy aleihem kama, v'loy aleihem, put a period there, and he explains, and they are going to say to themselves, it's not upon us a threat of geshem. V'loy aleihem is a code word, two words, which refers back to the last four words of the previous pasuk. V'loy aleihem yihyeh hagoshem. They say to themselves, V'loy aleihem. This threat of there not being geshem does not apply to us. That's how we learn. He's eating a lot into the pasuk. He's eating a lot of words into the pasuk, but that's really the way to look at it. They are saying, what are you going to threaten us? It's not going to rain. It doesn't anyway rain in Egypt. We anyway use the Nile. So Hashem says, don't worry. I have other methods for you. For you, if you're going to play games, you're not going to pay homage to Hashem. Instead, tihiye hamageifa. Instead, there's going to be a mageifa. Asher yigoyf Hashem es hagoyim. That Hashem will bring upon the goyim, which was the mageifa. I guess this means the mageifa which Hashem brought in the past upon the goy, will now bring this upon you again late now. Asher loyalu, because you refuse to ascend lochoig eschag hasukas. So for every living creature, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a means, a method in order to make sure that they behave. Daiga. Look at one more time the words of the Mitzvah, one more time the Spaskin in the Mitzvah, Pasir Kas, Velo Salav Loibom, who careful in the Abim Loshemes, Velo Alev, Return Loim, Shalo, Shalo Alehem, Yerin Ageshem, Kol Ashanim. Anyway, it doesn't rain the entire year.
That's why the godless of the Borah, Malbim explains what the godless of the Borah was as a Malbim. It's not just that it was a major storm. Most Egyptians never saw rain. You take a look at the right. They have less 1 inch of rain a year,
they have a drizzle.
The Barad was accompanied by rain.
So it was an unbelievable sight.
Sight to see rain. Of rain. They couldn't believe. That's why Paro said, only stop the Barad, but do not stop the rain.
It's like having snow in the equator.
Right? It was an incredible thing. Ki anilas mashkes l'sev via unsham hamagev v'hu hamakas habosar, hamakas habosar, their flesh will melt. Asher lo yalu al asher lo yalu. It is what al because it's not said. V'loi umkein nikim min ha'inesh. No one is free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to shake up everyone. No one can escape Hashem's reach. Just because a person, you look around and you see people, you think, oh, if only the, you don't know what's going on. No one knows what's doing by someone else. Just because a person in one area in his life is doing very, very well, but at least it appears to the naked eye that he's doing well, nobody knows what's really doing by somebody else. You find, you hear stories years later, 30, 40 years later, and you wouldn't believe it. If you thought everything was fine and good, people, what people deal with on a daily basis, different issues, and you never know about it. And when you find out about it, you wouldn't trade with them for $1 million. You wouldn't want to trade place with them. And what they, and so just because in one area of their life they have something, like my, I always tell you, the life, my mother, you told me from my grandmother, life is a short tablecloth. It looks nice on one side, it's not nice on the other side. And when you want to go make it nice on the other side, then it's not nice on this side. No one has a tablecloth that covers the entire table. You have on one side of the table, you just turn the table the right way, so when you come into the house, you only see the side of the table that looks nice. That's life. No one has problems, everyone is yearning. It's not the way it goes. Everything in life is a trade-off. There's a matter of point out. You can't really, you really cannot have it all. A person wants to be wealthy. You're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't go like that. You're not going to be the Gadol Hadar if you want to. You want to be the richest man in the world. And you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you're not going to be. You're not going to be rich. It's a foolish thing to think. People think today, everyone today is into Torah u'gedula. What does this guy do? He learns half a day and he works the other half of the day. And he makes a parnassah, you can't imagine. He's a millionaire, he owns real estate and this and this and this. And he's the biggest Talmud Chacham. He gives a daf yomi shir, he does this shir, that shir. Baloney. There's no such thing.
No such thing. Who wrote a lot were very wealthy.
Independently wealthy.
They were able to do it. They didn't have a shtel.
No one has, no one has. For a lot of these things, you discover was a very short time in their life. Like even the Rambam. The Rambam was supported by his brother David. He had a brother David.
No, it was family money. It wasn't his brother supported him. The Rambam was in the jewelry business until he was 50 years old.
His brother, he had a brother, David. David supported him, lock, stock, and barrel. I think brother, he had a brother. And then his brother died. His brother drowned. And then he went into poverty. He went into deep poverty. When you hear about even these people who you think are terrible makim echad, it was for a very short period of time. It wasn't that they their whole life. There was a tikkuf in their life. It's not a model. It's a very unfortunate. People have this model. Oh, you're gonna learn half a day. You're gonna. It doesn't go like that. It just it's not realistic. You have to decide. What is a priority? What is the priority and what is not the priority? I always use this in chinuch. They have a yeshiva. So this is a controversial thing. I told you many times. I remember Chaim Siegel. He was in those days. He was known to be. He had a reputation as being a very clever and successful principal of a boys' principal, a yeshiva principal, and a lot of. It was a very There was a very good time when there was a lot of new yeshivas opened up in those days. And a lot of people would come to him for advice. And a lot of, he told us once that a lot of the people who come and speak to him, talk to him, they all have this vision. They're going to make a yeshiva that's going to be the best in both. The best Limudei Kodesh and the best Limudei Chol. What does everyone really want? They want their children to have a good Limudei Kodesh. They should be able to be big, have learn the Hasmada. They should master Lamdus, Bekiyus. They should be able to become Gedola Yisrael. But they should have a top of the line secular education. They should all have the ability when they finish high school to go get PhDs, and they should be polished and articulate and knowledgeable. And that's the model. Every single person who makes a yeshiva today, that's what their model is. It's to have the best of both. And how come you look around and it doesn't exist? It doesn't exist. There are schools today that are very, good in Limudei Kodesh, phenomenal. And then there are yeshivas today that are very, you want a good education, you want to go to Harvard, this is where you go. This is where you go to high school, you go to this high school, you'll get into Harvard. And those yeshivas, the learning is very shvach. And then there are a lot of yeshivas that are flat. Nothing is good. Nothing is, not the Limudei Kodesh, not the Limudei Chol. How many yeshivas are there out there that give you a balance, give you both? Very, very few, if any.
Hannah Leibowitz was the yachid.
Everyone tries. I don't know. Everyone. What's the curse? Why are we cursed that we can't have a yeshiva? Why can every yeshiva excel in both Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol? So he told this to us 30 years ago, probably. He says, Rav Chaim Siegel. He says it's impossible. He says, it just doesn't work. He tried it. He says it doesn't work. What you have to have is not that it can't work. Yechidim. It works for yechidim. But a yeshiva, there's no such thing as a yeshiva as a whole. It works for yechidim. There are going to always be students that are going to be phenomenal, they're going to excel, exception. But to make a yeshiva that this is the norm, that everyone who comes out of the yeshiva has both, it's somehow, look around. It doesn't work. Why not? So he says, that's just the way, it's whatever it is. You want to say it's a curse, you want to say it's a weakness. You have to have a priority. When you make a yeshiva, what is your priority? If you make a yeshiva where your mission statement is, we're going to have the best of both, you're doomed. The way to succeed is have a priority, and then whatever is not the priority, try very hard to make that work also. But there has to be a priority. If you want your students to get PhDs in Harvard, fine, that's beautiful. Do that. That's your clientele. That's your focus. Then you also have to give them very valuable.
Do it well.
And then you do it well. And if you'll do it well, you'll do that well. Then in the mail, you'll also try to make sure they get a well-rounded Jewish education. If you want boys to become Gedolei Yisrael in Torah, that has to be the priority. And it's going to happen. It's the reality that the Limudei Chol is going to suffer. It's not an excuse. You know, Adams, who we're voting for today, Adams, people don't know, I think it's probably a good thing, but people don't know that everyone is endorsing him because of crime. But he is a very strong advocate of the yeshivas, cracking down on the yeshivas and making sure that they follow the rules. No monkey business. No, they have to have this, at least the same standards as all the public schools. And on the books, not talking about, you know, Pashkarai, the real deal. I want to see the books. I want to see, did you have the hours that are required? Did they have all of the curriculum? Was it followed to the dot? You know, halavai, we certainly can use it to be educated, but unfortunately, a lot of the yeshivas are not really equipped. They're not really equipped.
I think in this whole talk, we're missing an important ingredient, moving from the principle. You didn't mention the word parents, not at all. If you're going to do all this and try to accomplish all this without including parents,
of course, that's a side issue. That's a side issue. There has
that's
to
a
be
side issue. Issue. I think that's the issue.
Okay, that's it. There. The point over here is there has to be a priority. When there's a priority, that's your goal, and then everything else you have to. It somehow all fits in. It all works out. All right, so how do we get all this over here? We got over here too, from this last pasuk over here. I don't even remember how we got into this discussion. Okay. It's very late. We have to stop over here, take a very short break. I want to talk about today about that Matoivu Oyelecha Yaakov Mishkin Oysecha Yisrael. Okay, and if we have more time, we'll do some other things on the parsha. Okay, we'll come back in one moment.
You should have come yesterday.